Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back here on a Friday afternoon as we get ready for a Yankee Rays series finally. First one of the season. The Yankees follow us at 6:25 this evening as they will play three down in Tampa. And the Rays have had a tremendous season. Their pitching has been just, even with Snell hurt, their pitching's been sensational. Glasnow has been unbelievable. So their owner, Stu Sternberg, joins us now. Stu, welcome. How are you?
Really well, Mike. Yourself?
Good. Your team's been unbelievable. It really is. I mean, amazing what you've gotten out of your pitching staff. Remarkable.
It was a tremendous run in April we had, and a great finish the last couple of months of last year, and it's continued. And, yeah, the pitching is it's our first thing. First, second, and third, it's all about the pitching.
Well, Glasnow, I didn't know. I asked yesterday about a scouting report from Aaron Boone. He told me, I mean, I haven't seen him, but, boy, his numbers are outrageous.
He is. Yeah, we picked him up when we traded Archer last July, right at the deadline, along with a couple of other guys. And our guys have been raving about him and have followed him. And fortunately for us, you know, there are a couple little tweaks, but he's got amazing stuff. And he was missing outside the strike zone by a little bit, and now he just seems to have put it together. But, you know, we'll see what this weekend brings.
You know, last year everyone said, wow, how did they win 90 games with Ramirez? And then you took off and ran from both the teams, with the Yankees having been impressive by their own right with all the injuries they've had, what they've been able to do. But the Red Sox struggling. But there you've been running up top the division the whole year. So you've made last year look like anything but a fluke.
Yeah, so far. It's interesting. Our schedule to this point has been on the lighter side, I'd say, even though we played the Red Sox twice, we played the Astros, we opened up with them. But the interesting thing is the American League as a whole is just not as strong as it was,
up until
the last couple of years. And it's kind of odd because it's sort of switched. Like the National League went through that 5 or 8 year period where there were 5 or 6 really good teams and then a bunch of weaker ones. And now you're getting to that, it's sort of swung on the American League side. And fortunately for us, we're in a spot, here in 2019 and finishing 18 and maybe for the next couple of years, where we're in pretty good shape.
We're talking to the owner of the Rays, Stu Sternberg, about his team as the Yankees go visit. They'll see each other a lot in the next couple of weeks. They haven't seen each other yet here. It's May 10th, and now they meet for the first time. I went and looked your attendance up this morning at 13,000 per home game. Is that accurate? 13,100-something? Is that accurate?
Yeah, the number's right, and it's kind of lumpy because you have an opening day in there, you've got the Red Sox games in there, and then you've got afternoon. You know, April's always you've got afternoon games Monday night. So it's the way you get to 13, right? If you had 13 every night, it's one thing, but when you have 8 one night and 20 another, like the Yankee series this weekend.
That's what I wanted to ask. If you average 13 and that included opening day, what will you average in the Yankee series this weekend?
I would guess high teens, probably close to 20.
Is 20? How many times will you go above 20 in a regular season?
Tell me what my record's going to be come July, right?
I mean, but can you consistently do those kind of numbers or not really?
Well, we can. We ought to, but it's, it hasn't happened, and, it's an uphill struggle for us. But for me, I would take the winning and the kind of ball we're playing, first, second, and third. The fans that come out are passionate. Tons of people follow us on radio and TV as well, and the internet and every which way. So, I'd rather win, like last year, I'd rather win 90 games averaging 13,000 than win 76 games and average 23,000.
Where are you standing now with everything as far as the future for the franchise down there? Where do you stand stadium-wise and is anything going on right now?
We had 3 years where we looked, we found a place where we thought we could be right outside Ybor City in Tampa on the other side of the bay. For those of you familiar with it,
yep.
Probably 10 minutes from where the Yankees do their spring training.
Yep.
It couldn't come together. It just, at the end of the day, a lot of it comes down to money. And a lot of the reason you do these things is because you want to be able to attract more fans and sponsors. and everything. And we felt we had a much better leg to do it over there. But given the costs involved and the willingness for the county over on that side, Hillsborough County and Tampa, we just couldn't find an overlap to get something done.
You know, anyone who watches national politics hears about the I-4 corridor all the time, okay? And hears about Florida and how fast it grows and everything else. Is there any reasonable way to split the distance between you and Orlando and build something out on those roads that have been built out there between Orlando and you? I think it's 4. Is that the highway? Is that what
exactly
is it?
Right.
4?
Yeah, you hear about it on election night and other times. You know, that to me, as we've thought about it, it's not here nor there. if you move it in between Orlando and Tampa, you think of it as like a suburban stadium here, in New York. Granted, it's not like you've got Manhattan or anything. And maybe you could compare it to northern New Jersey with the Nets, right? You're close to New York, but, maybe to other city, parts of New Jersey, but you're not here nor there. And I think at this point, and we've been there for a while, fans want more of a downtown experience, want something that they're surrounded by other attractions as well.
They want to be able to walk around.
And they want to, exactly.
Gotcha.
And we had something will get done with us. I mean, we're going to get something built at some point. And what we think, what we call it is a porous stadium where people can basically wander through and wander around it and into neighborhoods and into areas. We'd like it to be walking distance to businesses as everyone would. And there's no public transportation to speak of in Florida. So that's become an issue. If you took it away from, say, where the Mets are, right? If there was no L train and there were no Long Island Railroad, it would create a bit more of a problem to get there.
Explain this to me. We're talking with the Tampa owner, and he does a great job with this franchise. The people on the show always hear me talk about it. But explain how you're able to, with your restrictions and in the division with two immortal franchises that are, with that print money, how were you able to compete with them year after year?
I've been just incredibly fortunate to have some really, really solid people, working with us. I mean, that's really, it's all it comes down to, right? You take all the people out of it, and, you're throwing darts at a board, basically. We've had a...
Why are you so good at scouting players?
I would say this, we're good at pitching.
Great at finding pitchers, absolutely. I wouldn't trade you a pitcher that you wanted if your life depended on it. I mean, you'd be crazy.
It's become a problem. That end of it's become a problem.
Well, why? If Tampa calls and likes your pitcher, you better start reexamining your pitcher.
Yeah, we've given some up that have turned out pretty well, too. This kid Marquez and Colorado. But, there are some out there. We've had some. But my guys from the very beginning for us, and I guess it's similar to football, similar to basketball, you could control the defensive side of the ball. And we do everything we can, and we just look at it as run prevention. It's both pitching, it's the
catcher. Defense. And versatility in your players, if you can get it, right?
Right.
You want versatility in your players. That's what you're looking for more than anything else, right?
Yeah, it's helpful. Like we see it when a guy, when a position goes down and you can swing somebody over and really platoon lefties, righties, and basically it's putting guys in a position where they could succeed, that maybe they're not 150 game guys, 400, 500 at bat guys, but if you can get them 260 at bats in the right spots, then it sort of works.
And it's hard for you to keep guys and turn them into, legendary figures because, there comes a point where they get too expensive if they're good, like a Longoria.
We had Longoria for a long time, and we traded him, and, we would have.
And he hasn't been the same player either.
It was nothing. It was the hardest thing we've done was trading Evan. But for us, we do have to make some really difficult decisions for the franchise, and we just felt and we were pretty certain it was in our best interest. Gives us a little more flexibility, from a money standpoint. So we allocated, let's say, that money. I don't want to say it directly, but we signed Charlie Morton this year. We probably, in all likelihood, would not have had the ability to do that. Morton's been a solid pitcher for us so far.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Absolutely been terrific. I mean, look, you wheel out guys every night. Look what you're wheeling out in this series. You wheel out guys every night that are just terrific pitchers, including the Cy Young Award winner who came up with a broken finger? Is that what it was? Broken toe. That's what it was.
He drops. He was moving. He just moved something in his home, and he dropped something on his toe, and fortunately for us, I mean, it could have been a lot worse, but he missed two starts, and then it took him a couple of other starts to sort of get acclimated again, and the last game he was just a wonderful thing.
He was back to being himself again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the numbers are unbelievable. I mean, the pitching numbers for your team, you got three guys that have whips under, your three of your four main starters have got whips under one. I mean, that's hard to do.
Obviously, I see every game, and, you know, we never take it for granted. But you go out there and we get sort of, you know, we give up two runs in an inning. It's really, it's an anomaly. And but, you know, now we'll come to this series and we'll probably give up 10 runs three times. Who knows?
Well, listen, I don't know if the Yankee lineup right now can do that, but against your pitching, but we'll see. We're talking with Stu Sternberg tonight. It's two of the six game winners in baseball. There's only three right now, and two of them are Glasnow and Roman. So how about that? I mean, guys, you would not have thought about this year being the two to three guys who have six wins on the season, and Glasnow right now with a 1.47 ERA and 46 strikeouts. Has just been terrific. Roman's been terrific for the Yankees, no question about it. So good matchup there of unlikely guys who have been at the top. Talk about this for a second. You study this now. You watch every game, as you said. You're obviously a bright guy. Your commissioner wants to – he's worried about attendance. He's worried about a lot. First of all, what is your read on 4% down last year, 10 teams being down this year? Is there something that worries you about attendance in baseball?
You're always concerned, obviously, how many people coming through the gate. For me, I'll give you two reads on it. Right? For us, it's a vis-a-vis. It's a relative sort of thing. And you and I go back to a point where a team, you know, wanted, like the Yankees even, right? The Mets, They wanted to get over a million fans, right? 1970,
yep.
73, four, that was the benchmark. Two was never, was just
right.
out of control. And then the Dodgers used to push towards three. The Blue Jays all of a sudden went towards four, right? And teams started marching toward those 2.5 million fans, even when the stadiums were large. Cleveland's, seated 70,000 people.
Yep.
The Rockies, 90,000. So, I'll get to it, two separate things. So baseball has driven the attendance up dramatically. From what it was back in the 70s, the golden
age. No question. When you think of the 50s, you think they were a huge, they drew huge numbers. They drew 1-1.
Now, Ebbets Field, the Dodgers last game, in the teens maybe. I don't know the number, but I'm sure, fans out there know it.
Yankees never drew four until A-Rod was there. First time they only drew four twice in their life. That was it.
And that's a stunning number to get to. You think 80 games with the cold, with the rain, with the heat, to get 50,000 a game is just... So the two points to come off of that a little bit is not atrocious, right?
Right.
But I do think two things have happened here. One, we went through a period for 15 years or so where there were new stadiums opening every year, each and every year, and they've got it. Whether it was the Twins, from Camden on to Minnesota, and they have that 2-3 year life, so you always got that bump.
So a new stadium's a draw.
New stadium, absolutely.
Okay.
But past that, I would tell you in frankness, from and I had to put it in this way, attendance numbers potentially years ago were even not that long ago, might have been a touch inflated.
Gotcha.
And everybody always said, how many came, sometimes you'd measure how many come through the door, how many tickets did you sell?
Right.
Which is more important, how many did you distribute? So I think teams over the last 3 to 5 years have, guys have gotten more serious about this and look at it and say, look, I want to stick to one particular number. This is what our announced attendance is, and that's what it is. You saw a fall off with the Marlins dramatically,
right?
The last year. And one team, losing 400,000 or 500,000 fans in a particular year in 70 million, it makes up, you could get 1% just for two teams falling off. So, it's an issue. Baseball is focused on it. But the most important part is, it's still, of all the sports, by far the most affordable sport, the most approachable sport, the one where you can have all the price points, without the crazy stuff. You can still bring a family, I would say 8 to 80, right? You can have an 8-year-old, an 80-year-old, and everybody in between sit with each other and talk about it, and whether it's a hot dog, a beer, a soda, Cracker Jacks. And you don't have to come 20 times. You go to your, I don't know if you were a kid. And I remember my dad was like, which game?
No, listen, if I got there, we were poor. If I got there once a year, twice a year, that was a lot. I went with my little league once a year. I got there once.
Yep.
I didn't have a dad. I got there once a year if I was lucky.
Did you go with the church?
I went with the little league. Went with the little league every year.
Right.
Yeah.
School.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was the one or two games a year. And quite frankly, that's enough. You know, it's not about people coming to 10-20 when those fans are imperative for us, but it's really about people, you know, the moms and the dads at the beginning of the year trying to find the game that the family of four could go to. And they could do it for under $100. So I think baseball is going to be fine. It's an incredible sport for those, you know, it's like a combination of soccer and basketball in a way. You know, there's enough going on, but by the same token, it's still a chess match in a sense.
What do you think about the idea of having to compete with the people who now have better TVs at home, entertainment centers, the ability to wager pitch per pitch, the whole thing, and all that? Is that something you have to compete against and have to try to deal with as far as getting people out to the games?
I think it's something that anything that will bring people's interest to watch the game. So the bigger, better, sharper the TVs are in the delivery, and when you can watch it, if you're out, you're walking your dog and you've got your little iPad with you and you want to watch an inning, whatever it happens to be. People, you know, you're waiting for your kid at the, you know, outside of school or whatever it is. The more approachable, I think that's great.
You think engagement is good?
You said it. Yeah, that's why you do that for a living, right?
Yes.
The engagement is great because, again, it's about getting people wanting to see it live, get out and smell the place, see the once or twice a year. I don't think that it's taking away from people coming once or twice a year.
Betting isn't as big in baseball as it is in the other sports, but how do you see betting fitting into your game?
It's coming, and it's going to come. Relatively quickly, and I think it's at the end of the day, while it might not, and it certainly won't be football on a gross basis because of the way that, you know,
right,
the sport sets up, it's going to be, I believe, and some believe, the most active sport as far as betting is concerned, because the way outcomes are derived.
It's enormous. It's almost like the same. You can recreate the games that they played on the corner in Brooklyn as kids. That is, you know, take here's 3-2 odds on what guy to get 2 hits in the game, get 3 hits in the doubleheader, whatever it may be. That's what, I mean, that's an endless supply in baseball. You can do it inning after inning.
Exactly right. Well, remember, you used to sit around and say, oh, who do you think? I think so-and-so's going to hit a home run tonight.
That's it.
We had
that's
one
it.
Of our guys earlier this year, you know, they're on deck, and you'll see somebody say, hey, I'm going to hit a ball to right, you know, hit one out for you, right? And it's an at-bat by at-bat. It's how many innings is a pitcher going to go? How many strikeouts is he going to have? It's endless. And once it gets to the phones, not that I'm a big fan of betting, because at the end of the day, it, you know, when you have casual betting, it's great. It creates some interest, but as we know in society, it does create a lot of ills. And you know, as long as it's kept casual in a reasonable fashion, I think it creates more interest in the game. Certainly, without it, football would be, you know, would have a different following. You know, but I think if done casually and done to keep the interest in the game and interest in the players, and I expect it's going to be a very big part of baseball, you know, after the next couple of years for decades to come.
Talking with the Reds, the owner of the Rays, Stu Sternberg. All right, give me your view of the Yankees and the Red Sox, who have now hit .500. The Yankees, a couple games behind you. Give me your opinion of the two monsters in your division on what you think about their seasons.
Look, the Yankees have been, I think anybody that's watching it has got to be a Yankee fan. You got to be ecstatic, right?
Amazed, really,
yeah.
To be honest.
And the funny thing is, knowing New Yorkers, if they were 4 games worse, they'd be worried, you know, beyond belief at this point. So it's amazing how few games make a difference. But you find these other players, and a couple of those guys will make a huge difference. You know, some of the guys who are hurt, you know, you couldn't have expected much of Ellsbury anyhow. Gregorius, they knew it coming into the season, so
right,
it wasn't like one of these things where, like, we've lost our 2 catchers in the last 4 days. You've really got to scurry around when
you've hard.
Lost your catchers.
Very
right?
hard, yes.
If you lose, you know, Tulowitzki was, you know, it was only an upside bet. You're waiting for something to happen. So, but you have lost, you know, obviously Judge.
Hey, they've lost Judge, Stanton, Hicks. They've lost Severino. They've lost Betances. I mean, that Paxton's on there now. I mean, they've had so many. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're it's when they come back, obviously, they are probably the, you know, the best, as we would think about it before the season, is good, if not better than any other team in baseball.
What do you think of the Red Sox?
Red Sox were, it's interesting with the Red Sox. And when they won it in 2013, they won it last year. They're a team that has done it, and everything on every cylinder fires. They pick up a player, whether it's Evaldi and Pierce, you know, Evaldi from us, Pierce, who we used to have. certain guys, and they just have these career years or career whatever for them, and it, you know, to the tip of the hat to them. And the next year, a few of them fall short
a
little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little difficult. They spent a fortune, obviously, again this year. They lost their closer. You know, they got Price out. Porcello's not. Sale, obviously, hasn't been what he is. And, you know, we saw it after 08. We had a huge hangover effect after the World Series. The Mets saw it again. When your pitchers go deep into October, with the number of innings they throw, not just that, but also they don't have the recovery time. You know, these pitchers start to throw again come January, and the guys who've been in the World Series, they start to baby them a little bit, and they have a hard time starting the season, and some of them never quite get started.
Good point. Well, your team's done an amazing, it's had an incredible start. We've been pointing to them playing the Yankees for a while, you know, because you guys have been out there and everyone's calling saying, oh, the Rays. And we're like, hey, we know they do it, but, you know, they do it honestly with pitching. That's the one thing, because one thing you got to respect is any team that can pitch, and you guys can pitch like crazy. So you pitch and catch the ball, you're always in the game. So that's exactly how you guys are.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, listen, good to talk to you as always. Thanks.
Can I give a quick shout
out
to my
friend,
Mike Shapiro, who's going through some tough time right now.
Go ahead. Hey, go ahead.
Where's
he from?
He's Belmore, Long Island.
All right. So we send our best to him.
Thank you, Michael. The best to you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for calling me on.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Sure.
Stu Sternberg, and to his friend Shapiro, hey, you know what? We wish Godspeed and good luck with whatever's going on. Back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.